a broke single mom who'd been fired from Denny's go on to become America's most sought-after real estate investor. Hold on to your seats as you are about to go on a wild ride that results in you being a superstar. Dwan Van Twyberg, a.k.a. Dwanderful, is about to blow your mind. The most wonderful real estate podcast ever promises to be your go-to podcast for everything that life has to offer. You are entering the Dwanderful Zone. Everybody, welcome to the most wonderful real estate podcast ever. I'm so excited today to bring you another episode of Inside the Minds of Today's Millionaires. So as you all know, when I interview all these great people, we ask just a whole lot of questions. We sort of try to find out what's happening in that crazy mind that they have. And I have a super crazy mind for you today. I have my buddy Jay Connor here with us today. And so we're going to get inside and see what's happening. And as you all know, the point of this session is not to ask all the standard questions that everybody asks, but to actually find out why someone like Jay can go from here to here and what's in his mind that helps him do that, and how you can also maybe take some of those tips and make them actionable tips for yourself, and you can do the same thing too. So we're more interested in what's in his head than what he's doing. So Jay, welcome to the show today.
Well, hello there, Dwan. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I don't know. You'll feel say that at the end of the interview. I ask a lot of crazy questions.
Well, hey, look, I like crazy questions for my crazy brain.
Oh, that's right. You and I are a good fit for that. But I do like to start off. I like you to tell everybody who you are and where you're at, just where you're at today. And then we'll backtrack and find out how you got here. So tell us who you are, kind of where you're at, you know, what you do, and give us how to get a hold of you right off the bat. I want everyone to know how to get a hold of you right away. And then we're going to find out the path that you took.
Awesome. So I live here in Eastern North Carolina. I was born and raised here in Eastern North Carolina, and we're in a little teeny tiny town. My wife, Carol Joy, is from Texas. In fact, we just got back last night from Texas, visiting with her family. She's got a really big family out in Texas, like everything's big in Texas. And so anyway, way back in 2003 is when we started, when Carol Joy and I started investing in single family houses. Uh-huh. And so I won't give you the backstory now, but today we have two businesses. We are flippers, like those HGTV people. So we buy them, fix them up, and we flip them. We hold some as well on rent to own, but by and large, we buy them, fix them up, and flip them. Our average profits right now are $67,000 per deal, per transaction. And that's with a median price point of only $225,000. Now, we're in a small market. Our market is only 40,000 people, only 40,000 people that we are marketing to buy their houses. And we only do 2 to 3 deals a month. But multiply 2 or 3 times $67,000 per month, and those numbers work out okay. So that's our buying and selling house business. And then our other business in 2011, we started coaching and training other real estate investors on how to get funding for their deals without relying on banks, mortgage companies, any kind of traditional lenders. And so we do the houses, we do single family houses. Now I've done commercial deals as well. We developed a shopping center from the ground up, and that's free and clear today, printing money every month. But that's not our main wheelhouse as far as what we spend our time in. So I'm known as the private money authority because I use a lot of private money. We've got today 46 individuals, private lenders that fund our deals. And I also coach and train other real estate investors on how to get all the money in the world they would ever need to never miss out on a deal.
Right. And that is, I love all your whole, and tell us how to get a hold of you.
Oh yeah.
So how do you get a hold of me? And give us the name of your podcast.
Sure. So the name of my podcast is Real Estate Investing with Jay Conner. And I'm an ER, by the way, C-O-N-N-E-R, Real Estate Investing with Jay Conner. And so that's the podcast. How to get a hold of me is just to take advantage of my free gift, which is Where to Get the Money Now, my book, Where to Get the Money Now book. Now, you can spend $20 on Amazon and get it, but you get it from me for free. Now, Dwan, I'm going to be totally transparent. I am going to ask them to spend a couple of bucks to cover postage and shipping, right?
That's all right.
But anyway, the website to get my book, Where to Get the Money Now. In fact, this was just released and first day made an Amazon bestseller. How and where to get money for your real estate deals without relying on traditional or hard money lenders. So this has got nothing to do with hard money. The website to get the free book is www.jayconner.com/freebook, F-R-E-E-B-O-O-K, jayconner.com/freebook.
All right. I love it. So, and the thing I'm really excited about having you on today is I find, I've been teaching real estate for a million years. And one of the things that people still sort of get stuck on is where to get the money. So I'm excited to talk about the private money. And also, you know, who doesn't want to talk about making $67,000 on every single deal that you do? That's awesome. And so we like to start off having drinks with Dwan. And we are having, I love your cup. I just have my Florida cup here. I'm having tea.
This is my superhero cup. And of course, Dwan is here as one of my superheroes. So my superhero cup. And inside, I love hot jasmine green tea. Green tea.
That sounds good. Well, cheers to you, honey. Thank you for being on my show.
It's like it nourishes my soul.
I know. I feel that way too. All y'all have your cheers with us. And that livens my tea. It just makes me happy. And we just take a deep breath and we sort of just shake off all the things we have going on. So that everybody can set your mind and open your mind to learning and listening and picking up some really great tips from Mr. Jay Conner with an ER. I like that. That's funny. So so I actually do want to talk about your deals there for a second. So you guys are averaging $67,000 a deal. And I know you are in a real small market. So could you tell people like maybe two tips someone could do if they live in a small market? Because, you know, I know you hear the same thing. People go, I live in such a small market. I don't think I could be an investor. It won't work. My market's too small. I hear that. I know you have to hear that all the time.
Exactly.
And that is a really valid point for people because they don't see the math, but you clearly do. So how do you see the math?
Sure. So first of all, I do not rely on just one source of leads, right? Uh-huh. So in a small market, like, you know, I've got my favorite ways to find motivated sellers. And of course, in today's market, I don't care if you're in a small market or a big market, you can't be relying on the multiple listing service because there's no inventory. So, you know, 90%+ of all of our deals are coming from what we call off-market houses. These are houses that are not in the multiple listing service. So my favorite ways in this small market to get consistent lead flow. And of course, there we go, Dwan. If we don't have consistent lead flow coming in every day, we don't have a business.
Yeah, right? That is the thing. It's a matter of consistency. I feel like people still kind of have the mindset, well, I found a deal, so let me work this deal. And then when it's done, I'm going to look for another one instead of I need to look as part of my everyday life. I'm looking for leads and lead sources because you can't just do one. That's how you end up failing, I think, just doing one and sitting back for a minute, getting that check and going like, woo. Then you do one. And the next thing you know, you're doing like two deals a year. If you just sort of kept your leads going, you could have done, you know, 15 or 20 deals in a year.
Exactly. So my top favorite ways in a small market, at least in my small market, to get consistent deal flow are the following.
Okay. Number one
is vacant houses or properties that appear to be vacant. Vacant houses are some of the best leads and the most profitable leads. And when it comes to vacant houses, what I've learned, Juan, just like you over the years, the harder it is to find the seller or owner of that property, the more profitable and the more likely it is that you're going to do business with the owner of that property.
Agreed.
So vacant houses. So how do I get these vacant houses? Well, I do not recommend relying on a list from a broker. Can you rent or buy a list from a broker and it says vacant houses? Yes, you can. And of course, and I don't recommend it, but what they're doing is they're pulling a list from the United States Postal Service of what they call undeliverable mail, right? So it's like the post office has a list of vacant houses, but are they really vacant? Well, the best way to know is to be actually having eyes looking at these properties and driving around. So how do I get consistent vacant house deal flow coming in? From my loyal bird dogs.
So
this is nothing new. I mean, it's like my first real estate seminar I went to.
Yeah.
They taught me, one trainer called it the ant farm.
I love that.
You have ants that are, farming your area all the time. Most people call them bird dogs. So we don't leave it to our bird dog's own devices. And, they see a vacant house and they send it in. So we have bird dogs that have schedules to drive our target area. And they hit every street in our 40,000 people area every month. And here's why. Because a property that's not vacant today could be vacant next week.
Yeah.
Could be vacant in 3 weeks. And particularly in the spring through the fall when the grass is growing, right?
Yes.
It's going to be pretty quick, maybe, to identify a potential vacant property. Now, these same bird dogs also send us pictures of for sale by owner signs, like FSBO signs in the front of the yards. But we all know most of those FSBO signs in today's market is wanting full retail or above retail. And the only reason they got the sign in the yard is because they're trying to save a realtor fee, which in today's market they might can. So FSBO signs are secondary, but truly what appears to be a vacant house is like gold. You were saying
something. Okay, so let's just park on that just for a second. Now, I like the fact that you have people physically driving. Because, we know people all the time, they get served foreclosure papers. And a lot of people mistakenly think that means that they've already lost their house. So they'll just move out over the weekend. And they don't understand that the bank is just serving them notice that the foreclosure process has started. And so a lot of people say to me, the house is vacant. You can't find the people, looking for vacant deals. It's a dead end. And I'm with you. I don't think so. I have talked to many, many, many homeowners that are like, the bank sent me papers and said that, I was going, my light just went out right there. Hang on a second. You're going to have the full light on my face. And I've had a lot of people that were like, I got the notification that I was in foreclosure, and they thought that meant their house was gone. But yeah, they have months to go, and they've just, they do, I call it a midnight move, where they take off Sunday night or Friday night at midnight, they just move all their stuff out and they're gone. So you pay someone to drive the areas and look for the vacant houses.
Exactly.
See, I love that. I think that's a really good tip because I don't think most people do that. They mail postcards and see what comes back.
No, I mean, so they're driving, they're sending us the leads in. So how do we get the leads? So they're actually taking a picture of the house.
Yeah.
They're sending us the physical address. Now, what do we do next? How do we get up with these people to actually find out if, the house is vacant? Do they want to sell? So the first thing we do is we pull the public record tax information. And the first thing we look to see is, are the tax bills being mailed to that same property, or are the tax bill being mailed to a different address, right? it really doesn't matter. I mean, you could have a hot lead and the tax bills are being mailed to that property and they've, you know, left town or otherwise. If it's being mailed to another property address, that's already giving me a motivational signal that it's not only a vacant house, but it's also an absentee owner, right? That lives elsewhere. So now I've got two layers already of possible motivation. Let me go back for a moment, Dwan, to how we compensate these people.
And I also want to add, don't forget, I want to also add, for someone that does live like in a giant area, like I'm in West Palm Beach at my Florida house right now. Palm Beach County is giant. How does someone that lives in a giant area, do they also have someone driving? Like, I'd like to see how that translates to a bigger area, but I really love the fact that you have someone just literally out there using their eyeballs. Like people don't want to do that anymore. They just want to email and postcard and try to find people on, you know, Facebook, and people don't want to like be in the field. And I really feel like that's where the action's at.
Well, my lens, I mean, that's for so much of your experience, Dwan, is over the years, is actually being in the field and talking to people.
That's what I just feel like, that people that don't do that or take advantage of that aspect miss a lot, because plus it's fun to get out. Okay, absolutely. Let's go ahead.
Yeah. So I pay them $10. Now that sounds like a lot of money, but it's not. $10 a lead. So $10 for a picture, for an address. And my lands, all I need is 15 of them on average to buy a house. 15 on average.
Awesome.
15 vacant houses. Who in the world wouldn't invest $150?
Exactly.
To so make
they,
a possible.
They take the picture, they send it to you, you give them $10 for that photo.
Yep.
And they find.
In addition to, and we settle up once a week. So we pay them once a week. And that's no money for them. I mean, that pays for their gas, right? Yeah. Where they're looking to make the money is on the houses that we buy. So I pay a straight, I don't care if it's a $50,000 house or a $200,000 house, I pay a straight $1,000 for every house that I buy to the bird dog. So, you know, with the number of volume that I'm doing, I mean, my bird dogs are not going to make a living off of the bird dog fees that I pay them. They all have, I mean, they all have their own income, but that's some nice bonus money, right?
It's a lot. And, you know, for someone maybe that's retired and bored or at home and they want to get out and do something. Gosh, what a great thing for somebody.
Absolutely. Now, I will tell you, I learned the hard way. Oops, my battery's running low.
That's all right.
I got to plug my laptop back in.
That's all right. You know, it's funny. I did that last week. I was recording along. I started hearing this sound and I was like, oh, that's my battery.
I actually thought I had it plugged in. Let me see if that did.
That's all right. This is why we love to do live. You never know what's going to happen.
Let's see here.
Real estate podcast ever.
So for some strange reason, my plug is not wanting to work. So I apologize.
No, it's not a worry at all. So I'm just going to keep talking about how awesome your deal is there. And, you know, when I was in the business of using bird dogs on the regular, I found out that it was really something that a lot of retired people like to do. You know, it's extra money, gets them out of the house. It's a fun thing for them to do. You know, single moms, you know, and getting out, putting their kids in the car with them and go bird dog queue for a couple of hours. So I love the fact that you give them $1,000 every deal and they get $10 for every lead. I mean, shoot.
Yeah, as I say, and I'm just going to talk while I'm finding another plug for this laptop.
That's all right.
But, you know, another thing, like I said, I learned the hard way. Uh-huh. Do not advertise for these bird dog people.
Yes.
On the internet.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody and their brother will reach out to you, right?
Oh, it's crazy. So
you can't even field those calls.
Yeah. All of our
See, folks, this is why fun is live, because you never know what's going to happen. Jay just got bounced out. So will he come back in? If he doesn't, this will be one of my shorter interviews, but I'm still going to make it count because I don't do redos. So this will just be fun. But Jay is a really great guy. I have known him for, gosh, I don't even know, 20 years, maybe even a little bit longer than that. Really, a super, super, super long time. And he's amazing. But what I really love is that he teaches you how to raise private money. And for a lot of investors that are looking to do the houses and do the rehabs and do things like that, they don't know where to get the money. Or they find a house, like maybe you get a short sale and you get that short sale done and you need to close on it because you need to sell it and you need some private money to be able to close that deal. So maybe you need private money to close that deal. And that is where a person like Jay is. Now he's going to be calling me on my phone here. And I'm going to say, listen, we're going to keep recording, dude. let him just come on back in here. So that is another, just another great thing about the private money. It helps you with your short sales. Definitely if you want to be a rehabber, you want to close on a house and rehab it. Private money is a good thing. Sometimes I've even used private money to close on some of my rentals. And I close on the rental and I use the private money until I can get the property refinanced. So there are a lot of benefits of working with someone on private money. And he is the private money authority. I mean, the whole time I've known him, I think he said 2011 is when they started that. But I remember even before this, 11... Yeah, I remember even before that, he was always being able to raise private money, just all the time. Every time I turned around, the guy had some way to get a hold of private money. And so I'm happy that he has now become the private money authority. So, and Jay's a good guy. I love his Southern accent. I love his mild manner. And I don't even know if he's going to come back on right now. Hold on. Is he coming back on? Oh, hang on. We're still recording. All right. Where's my man? He's not coming back on just yet. All right. So I do love the off-market leads, vacant houses. I know that most people email postcards to vacant houses. Almost every investor I've ever met is like, oh, yeah, I mail postcards. And if the person put in a change of address, then the postcard will get forwarded. But if they did not put in a change of address, the postcard does not get forwarded and you can get it back. So if you do make the decision at some point that you're going to mail postcards, always make sure you have the homeowner's name and then underneath that have the words or current resident. So if you have a postcard coming to me and it's like addressed to Dwan Bent Twyford and I don't live there anymore, you're going to get the postcard back. But if you're really trying to reach me or you're like, hey, I just really want to reach anybody because, you know, I'm trying to do deals. Then what you can do is put like Dwan Bent Twyford or current resident. And by putting or current resident, then the postcard will stay at the house. Because I have had hundreds of deals where I sent a postcard out with the person's name or current resident. And the person that called me was like, hey, that person's not here, but I got your postcard. I need help. I'm like, hey, no worries. Let's see what we can get, what we can do. So I like the fact that that when I do, and we call that farming. So it was funny, he was talking about an ant farm. We call that farming. So when I'm doing farming, I buy a zip code. And I specifically, when you're buying zip codes, you got to remember, you got to make sure if you're going to buy a mailing list that you get what it is you're looking for, like just single family homes. Because you just say, hey, give me every address and this zip code, you'll get vacant land. You'll get every address. Like you have a strip mall, a bar, you'll get everything. So you have to ask specifically for what you're looking for. For us, it's usually single family homes. So you might buy a zip code and ask for single family homes only, and then mail to those people. And then, you know, if you buy like a list of 5,000 people, then one of the months you mail 1,000 postcards to the person or current resident. And then the next month, same thing, the next 1,000, and you just keep doing it that way. And then what happens is people will get your postcard and a lot of people will hang on to it. they'll hang on to it and they'll be like, hey, you know, I got this postcard and my postcard says, you know, unwanted property, question mark, going through foreclosure, question mark, job transfer, question mark, divorce, question mark. Did you inherit a property that you don't know what to do with, question mark. So my postcards have like a word and a question mark. And it says that we offer solutions for your property problems. We offer solutions for your property problems. And so many people, especially over the years, I've met so many people like, hey, my husband and I weren't getting along that good. And, you know, we were like possibly going to go through divorce and I got your postcard and I hung on to it. And they kept it because, you know, or the men too, even the men do have kept it because it's got all kinds of different options, not just, hey, we buy houses cash, you know? And so, so I love that. So, you know what I'm going to do here? Jay's not back on here. I'm going to try to call him and get him back and finish recording. And then I'm going to have my podcast team put these two calls together. I could do it over from scratch, but you know, honestly, half the fun is just doing like what we're doing right now and letting things happen. This is what the real world is. If we were on a live call right now, this is exactly what would be happening. So I am not, you all know, I am not a fan of editing and getting rid of every and ah, and because this is not real. That's just not real. And we like to keep it real over here. So I'm going to go ahead and try to jump back over and find Jay. I keep seeing my screen flash and waiting for him to come back in, but it's been a minute. So let me, all right, I'm going to bounce over and try to find him. I'm going to come back. And we're going to splice these two together. And if it's really a super bad train wreck, then I'll just record him from the beginning. But he gave us like so many good ideas. I wrote down so many great notes already. I don't want to lose the vibe that we have going on. Of course, he could be a little bit frazzled right now because this just happened. So I'm really good about rolling with the punches. It's like, I don't care. I just keep going. All right, guys, I'm going to bounce out for a second. Let's see what happens here. Wow, wow, wow. How much fun did you just have? You listened to the most wonderful real estate podcast ever. Hey, do me a favor. If you love just one thing about the show, if you laugh, if you learn something, leave a 5-star review, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Don't forget, next week, same bat time, same bat channel.